Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today on the Steve Jones Show, we'll look back at last night's Penn State game with Wisconsin. Penn State played well in spurts, but Wisconsin did not look as impressive as they normally do. We'll get Steve's take on that. NBA trade deadline is now gone by the wayside. Kevin Garnett is returning to the place where it all began. He's going to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the Nets traded him to the Timberwolves for Thaddeus Young. That was confirmed a few moments ago by his agent in what might be his 20th and final season. The team that drafted him out of high school in 95 is now going to get him back. So that's one of the big news, one of the big trades of the day in the NBA. We'll talk more about that as we go on throughout the afternoon here. And as more words become official on the trade deadline, there was also a report that the Bucks, Suns, and Sixers have a three-team deal that included Brandon Knight to the Suns, Michael Carter-Williams, Miles Plumlee, and Tyler Ennis to the Bucks, Isaiah Thomas, and picks to the Sixers. So Thomas and picks to the Sixers. There's also some other reported aspects of the trade, too. That was one that happened right before the trade deadline at 3 o'clock. So as more details come out about that, we'll keep you posted about it. All that headed your way this afternoon here on the Steve Jones Show. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Steve Jones will join us next here on WKOK.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. And the old NBC NBA theme there.
Yeah, trade deadline day. I thought it would be dig into the archives a little bit. A little John Tesh.
It could be interesting. It may have played out well for Tim Frazier because the Philadelphia 76ers have traded Michael Carter-Williams and KJ McDaniels, I think, to Milwaukee.
The last I heard was
the Sixers do not have a point guard.
Well, the last I heard was Brandon Knight to the Suns, Carter Williams, Plumlee, and Tyler Ennis to the Bucks, Isaiah Thomas, and picks to the Sixers.
Isaiah Thomas, huh?
Didn't he play for Detroit at one point?
No. It's the wrong Isaiah Thomas.
I know. I'm making a joke.
The wrong guy. How did you make it in last night, by the way? It's amazing you got there.
Oh, listen. It was not fun. When you hit the cut just outside on Interstate 80, just outside of Lock Haven, it was looking at what you could see off the front bumper, and that was about it for a good 20 miles. It was the longest trip to State College I think I've ever had. It was 2 hours out and 2.5 hours back.
Wow. Brutal. I was home in 10 minutes.
Yeah, as you said, I waved and said it was a fun trip, and he goes, I didn't have any problem.
Dick was laughing about that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. And I thought, I'm walking all the way over to the other side of the arena just to say hi, and I get, I didn't have any problem. As he puts the headphones back on and comes back from break.
Well, what do you want me to do? Not do the segment?
I realize you were working.
Yeah. The big one was Goran Dragic, by the way, going to the Miami Heat. in exchange for the entire Heat team. No, I'm just kidding.
Kevin Garnett going back to Minnesota.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. Really is.
Unless you're him.
I mean, he's going to get paid either way. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, my guess is he sold his home. He's been gone there a long time. He hadn't played there in 7 years.
Dropped his no-trade clause.
Yeah. So, you know, he gets to finish up there. Good for him. All right. Let's see. Tonight, Patrick Chambers on the Penn State Basketball Show, and Sandy Barber will be on the show. Of course, we've already had her on our show this week. So, today, we're going to talk about the NFL draft with Charlie Campbell of Walter Football. Tomorrow, the show is from Chicago. We have scheduled... This is the one you love.
Must be time to talk to the business of sports.
Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, the business of sports, the one that ruins your dreams. You're out there buying jerseys left and right, and Tony's telling you, here's the real deal.
Actually, I thought Penn State had a really nice promotion last night.
What was it?
Dollar Dog Night. Dollar Dog Night.
Oh, was it Dollar Dog Night? Okay. I didn't know that.
We got there with about 15 minutes to go in the first half. Got to our seats, enjoyed the first half, decided to go out and look around, and I hear, and by the way, it's Dollar Dog Night. Winner!
Why do you do Dollar Dog Night on Ash Wednesday?
Listen, I was very happy it was Dollar Dog Night, all right?
I understand that, but there's a bunch of people that can't eat meat on Ash Wednesday.
I can see the problem there. I was not one of them, but I can see their problem there.
Okay.
All I know is Daniel and his buddy heard Dollar Dog Night, and they got more excited than I did.
They loaded up.
It was time to load up.
Mm. Well, all right. So...
Now, that's a business. That's a good business move right there. That'll get you in the stadium. Dollar Dog Night.
Well, baseball has done that around here for a long time, and that's where they picked up minor league baseball. Hey, come on out, Dollar Dog Night. Everybody said, this is great. I work with Joe Putnam. He gets a dozen. I'm like, okay. How much does that cost? $12.
$12?
I said, Tax you can't. I said, Joe, you can't eat 12 hot dogs in one sitting. You just can't do it.
Well, that's why you save one for the first couple of innings. Then you have the save the rest for the, you know, you pace yourself for all nine innings.
Pace?
You got a dog for each inning. And then in case it goes extras, you're good to go.
Well, you got a chance to see last night Penn State played 30 outstanding minutes of defense. 30 outstanding minutes of defense. And they played 10 lousy to mediocre minutes of defense. And that happened to be the first 5 minutes of the game and the first 5 minutes of the second half. And that gave a working margin to Wisconsin to take care of business. And they did.
Well, Dave and I were talking about that. Not to interrupt you, but Dave and I were talking about that as Chief and I went out to the game as well. And one of the things that we noticed was there was like almost an entire 10-minute spurt where Wisconsin, right before half, hadn't scored, but Penn State just couldn't close the gap.
Yeah, Penn State, except for DJ Newbill, had nothing offensively last night.
Newbill
had
DJ,
something offensively. Yeah, he had 29 and... The rest of the guys ended up with a whopping 18. And the shooting percentage for the rest of the guys was under 20% last night. Yeah, it's, you know, that's... At one point, Dick in the broadcast said, well, the stars have really come out tonight. Kaminsky's got 16, Decker's got 22, and at this point, DJ had 20-something. He ended up with 29. And I said, what you just outlined is the big problem in this game, Dick. He said, what's that? I said, two of those stars play for one team and one plays for the other. And you have to have, you know, Brandon Taylor, obviously not 100%, but he had told me on Monday that, look, because when he got hit by Melo Trimble, the knee brace, he told me, kept him from getting damage on the knee. Still wasn't quite 100% last night, but they need him to consistently score 10 to 15 points a game. And Geno Thorpe has got to become more of a consistent threat offensively, because Geno is coming off a game against Maryland where he brilliantly scored 17 and looked terrific doing it, and just couldn't get going offensively last night. They missed three big layups. Geno missed one. I think Shep Garner missed one. And Donovan Jack missed one. You can't miss layups against Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin's a team. This is how good Penn State's defense was last night. Wisconsin on the season, 1.189 per possession for the season. That is a phenomenal number. Only Notre Dame has a higher points per possession this season than Wisconsin does. 1.189. That's phenomenal. Now, what did they do last night? 0.950. That's how good Penn State's defense was last night. The problem was they couldn't score.
Wisconsin
couldn't find any offense.
And
they closed the gap down to five. And then, you know, when you think you've seen it all, something else happens. And they're down to five with a chance to get it down to two or three. Newbill goes to turn the corner and trips over Ross Travis. What? Just put your head down. You got to be kidding me. This defines snake bit.
Well, and in that 10-minute stretch there right before the half, Wisconsin not getting any good looks and weren't hitting anything when they did get a good look. And they shot, 40%?
39 for the game.
Wow.
Look, Penn State, you know, yeah, you have to take a gamble against them. And the gamble is this, is that you need to, against their big players, their post players, double Kaminsky wherever you can, double Hayes when you can, double Decker when you can, which means that you take a player off either Gosser or Koenig to do it. And that's the bet you lay down on the table, that they won't hit shots. Well, Gosser and Koenig did not hit shots last night. And that's why Penn State was able to keep them to only 55 points. Penn State's goal going into the game, they felt they had a chance to win if they could keep Wisconsin under 60. Well, they certainly did that. The problem was Penn State only scored 47. And you just can't have one guy doing all the scoring. They need help along the way.
If you go
remember Larry Bird in Indiana State went to the championship game as Larry Bird, Larry Bird, Larry Bird. Everyone forgets Carl Nix was a first-round pick, too. He was the second guy on that team. He gave them some balance and scoring. It wasn't always just Bird.
But if you would have gone into that game saying Kaminsky would have 16, you would think, ooh, that's an opportunity.
But you know what? That shows how good he is.
Well, and I think Dick said it on the broadcast, a pedestrian 16.
Yeah, 16. Yeah, you know, but again, pedestrian for some people. He's a look around and go, he's
exactly.
Still got 16 points. Everybody else, they have 16 points, and they're over there buying food for me. Hey, look what I did. I had a great night. I had 16. He's
exactly.
Like, him, 16. He was like, yawn, ho-hum. He grabbed rebounds. He made himself a passer, a facilitator. And the really good players know what is needed on a given night. That's what I was talking about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has no sense whatsoever. It's all about getting his and not about winning. He thinks that by getting his that they will win. The really good players look around and say, okay, let's see what's going on. I'm not really doing great here in this part, but you know what? If I rebound and I pass really well, we can win the game. Well, that's what Kaminsky did last night. And Decker had a really good night. Decker, the two games that he played against Penn State, he was outstanding this year. And I'm wondering if Decker is going to go to the NBA draft. He still has another year left after this. Kaminsky doesn't. He's done. And I'm wondering what Decker's going to decide to do. Because Decker is an NBA player. He won't be a star in the NBA, but he is an NBA player. And I would think that he has to make a decision after this season about what he wants to do. Does he want to come back for his senior year? Or is this enough for him and time to move on? I don't know. Duke and North Carolina afterward was just a scintillating basketball game. That was unbelievable, off the charts last night. into overtime when you wouldn't know. You were too busy fighting squalls.
We were listening to it in between trying to figure out where the road was.
This is in the beast mobile you took, whatever the thing's called.
We did not take Truckosaurus.
Oh, well, why not?
Oh, we should have. We should have taken Truckosaurus.
By the way, and again, tomorrow's show is from Chicago, and Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, scheduled to be on tomorrow. That's the segment that really hasn't quite shattered all of your dreams about what sports happen to be happens to be.
You guys have been trying. I mean, you've been working hard at it over the last couple of years.
I mean, I'm sorry, it is a business.
Like I said, dog night, good business move.
All right, we're going to talk about the NFL draft in the next half hour.
He said, dollar dog night. I leaned over to Richie and I said, Steve didn't tell me about that. He said, now you're excited, aren't you? Yeah.
You know what's bad is I didn't even know.
There's a shocker.
I didn't even know.
Saw Phillies Pirates last year. It was dollar dog night down at the ballpark, too.
It's a promotion that just seems to follow you.
Actually, I think I follow the promotion. At least most times I do, anyway.
You got to get yourself really more into a leadership position. Because, you know, if you're not the lead dog, the view never changes.
I got nothing for that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Now, it looks like the latest mock drafts have Todd Gurley to the Steelers.
Not going to worry about it till draft day.
Well, they're not happy with their backup.
Not going to worry about it till draft day.
I'm just kidding. You know, part of the fun of the show is how you panic.
I'm not going to panic till now. Draft day or the day after, then I might be panicking.
Why do you panic over draft day? Why?
Because you just address a need. That's all I'm saying. Just address one need.
I felt my father was a great man. And you know, one of the things that he told me, I never forgot. He says, you know what? Don't worry about things you can't control.
That explains where you get it from.
Yeah, you'd be amazed the peace of mind it gives you. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You, on the other hand, obsess over things that you can't control.
From time to time.
It's not as if you're in the draft room with them saying, no, don't pick him.
I feel if I yell loud enough, they'll be able to hear.
Do you yell at the TV set during the game?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Have you been told by others that maybe they can't hear you?
Yes, my wife. And I said, oh, no, they can hear me.
Have you thought at some point that she was right?
No, I haven't given that any thought.
I'd like to tell you, though, that the first step to recovery is realizing you have a problem. I just want to tell you that. Don't worry. This show is great therapy for you. There's something inside me that tells me that your thought process about sports is completely different now than 4 years ago.
Not completely different, but definitely different.
I'm not so sure it's made it better for you.
No, I know. I know it's not better, but it is different. Yes.
It's destroyed a myth or two. I know that hasn't been easy for you. All right, let's bring in Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. It is never too early to talk about the NFL draft and the combines going on in Indianapolis. Hi, Charlie.
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing really great. Big time intro for you, my man. All right, it is the combine. Marcus Mariota says he's going to throw. And Jameis Winston, of course, 50-50. Is there any value to these guys throwing, especially when they're going to have their own individual camp?
I think so, because, you know, all of these guys, these ones in particular, Mariota, Winston, Brett Hundley, they all have good arms. You've seen that in college. They all can make the throws that they need to make. They can throw it with velocity to the far hash and on out routes. So when you're going against air, no pass rush, no cornerbacks, and those guys can just turn their arms loose, I think it's always good for them to throw in front of evaluators when they have all 32 GMs there, all 32 head coaches. That won't be the case at their pro day workouts. And it also comes across a little prima donna-ish when you don't throw at the combine. So I think it works in their favor to throw. And with their athleticism, I don't see why they wouldn't want to throw when they don't have a defense that's trying to get to them.
I always laugh when we get to this time of the year. I'm not trying to put the guy down because he has a valuable business. But they talk about the quarterback guru, George Whitfield. He exists because their team coaches and the potential coaches can't work with him in the offseason. That's why he exists. Is he a valuable resource, though, for GMs to go to?
Sure. I mean, there are those guys out there, you know, Terry Shea is another. And, you know, I think the quarterbacks that really, I mean, if I were going to advise one of those guys and you have the ability and opportunity, you should be working with John Gruden because he coached right. NFL quarterbacks at a super high level, and he loves working with college guys. So that would be the one that I would really recommend them going to. But, you know, Whitfield definitely has shown some improvement with some of his guys. So I think that's worked in his favor.
All right. What about Bryce Petty? Tell me about Bryce Petty, because he's going to have the knock against him, Charlie, is going to be he's the system guy. All right. What do you see in him?
Well, I see a quarterback that has a nice skill set, but, you know, he struggles sometimes with accuracy. He'll miss, even in that college offense, he'll miss some receivers running wide open for potential scores and throws that any NFL quarterback has to hit consistently. And he has some bouts of inaccuracy, especially early last year. He did better late in the year and in the bowl game against Michigan State. It looked like he was a little more on point there. But at the Senior Bowl, it was kind of a ho-hum performance, and you just see that he needs some development and work. He's going to have to learn how to work under center and improve his feet. And I think if he can improve his feet, that'll improve the accuracy. So I think he's a developmental quarterback, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I think the NFL, you know, it's gotten a little too crazy with putting these guys in early, and I think quarterbacks can really benefit from sitting behind a quality starter and learning. That certainly was the case for Aaron Rodgers, and he's the best quarterback in the NFL. So I think guys like Petty, Hundley, Garrett Grayson, from Colorado State, they land with a good team and they're a backup. There's nothing wrong with that, and it could be the best thing for them in the long run.
Are you still high on Garrett Grayson? Because you had him as your number three quarterback when we talked about a month ago.
I am, yeah. I think he is the third best quarterback in the class as far as what he brings to the table, his skill set, his accuracy, his ability to work through progressions and throw out of the pocket. I think he's more advanced than the other guys, and I think he has the physical ability to do it in the NFL. He needs some, you know, work just like other guys do. But I think if he lands with a team, say like the Saints, that are looking to get a young quarterback to develop behind Drew Brees for a year or two, that would be perfect for him.
When you do a mock draft, do you do a mock draft of 1 through 32 players, Charlie, or do you really try to fit need that even though the fifth best player on your draft board and the fifth team with the overall pick has a completely different need, and it might be the 18th guy on the board? How do you do your mock draft?
Yeah, I do it based on the team. You know, I try and, first of all, I try and get information from people I talk with in the league about who those teams like and who they're targeting. So that's, you know, task one. And then from there, it's, you know, studying trends and trying to see, you know, what kind of players certain GMs like to draft. You know, certain GMs favor different things in terms of size or speed or, you know, arm length, athleticism, all kinds of things. They all have tendencies that they go to. So that fits in there. But it really comes down to team and what I think the team is going to do rather than what I think they should do. I try and throw that out the window because what I think they should do is irrelevant to me for the readers. I want to get the readers info on what I think the team is going to do based on all the info I have available.
A lot of people feel the Steelers absolutely need a corner. There's the Peters kid. There's also Trey Wayans of Michigan State, whom I saw in person and walked away incredibly impressed with. What's your thoughts on the corner spot, since that might be an area that that the Steelers might look at?
Yeah, I think that definitely is in play. I mean, it's been a long time since they took one in the first round. And that's the case when they took Jarvis Jones a couple years ago. They hadn't taken a pass rusher, an edge linebacker in the first round in a long time. So I don't think that a cornerback is out of play for the Steelers just because Colbert and Tomlin have tended to take them on day two. And I think Wayans would be great. I think if they could get him, if he falls to that pick, that would be a perfect scenario for the Steelers. He's big, he's quick, he can play press man, he can play zone, work with him on playing off man, but I think that he'll pick that up, and I think he's going to be a very good NFL cornerback and a quality starter for a good decade here. So he would be a great pick.
Yeah, he's a guy that I thought moved well, really liked his footwork, Charlie, loved his length. I mean, I think his length's a big difference maker for him.
Yeah, and he's physical too. He's not afraid to mix it up with receivers or backs. He definitely bring some physicality on the edge. He's not just a tap dancer out there running with receivers. So I think he has that and some ball skills. And you saw those a little bit more probably in the previous season when Denard was on the other side of the field. Last year, teams didn't throw at Wayans as much, but he made some impressive plays when they did. So he really has a nice developed skill set for the NFL.
The Philadelphia Eagles select 20th. That's the problem with being what were the Eagles, 10-6 this year? You're a 10-6 team that doesn't make the playoffs. You draft 20th. Give me an idea, Charlie. Give me an idea of the importance of this draft for Chip Kelly, because I think we know what he'd like to do, but the question is, can he do it?
Right, yeah, and everybody feels that, you know, he wants the reunion with Marcus Mariota. And I think that, you know, he might throw a curveball in there, and Mariota is, you know, just not going to get within striking distance. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brett Hundley ends up being a player that the Eagles give heavy consideration to in the early portion of the draft, whether it's first, second round. Because he has an excellent skill set that would fit Chip's offense with his mobility and his athleticism and his arm. So I think just because Mariota has that history with Chip Kelly, I think there are other options for them, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Mariota sort of gone in the first few picks, but the Eagles end up coming away with an athletic quarterback.
All right. Now, tell us a little bit about the Williams kid from USC. Some people would say he's the top, quote, player in the draft. Where do you have him rated?
I have him rated in the top five, but I don't have him rated number one overall. Okay. And I asked some teams that are picking high in the draft, and they have him high on their boards, but they don't have him first overall. And the reason that he isn't first overall is because of consistency. There are games where he just was kind of quiet, seemed to take his foot off the pedal, didn't go, you know, all out for four quarters. And then other games, he was a beast and he was dominant. So that consistency and in-game consistency where he would have some excellent series and will take over a game for a quarter and then falls quiet for a bit. So that consistency was kind of lacking from his game, and I think that's what hurts him in terms of, you know, being considered as the top player in the draft. So if he can answer those questions effectively in his team meetings, that would help him out with that, but I think that's the part of his game that he's really missing entering the next level.
Last time we talked about Mike Hull. Coming up first in this combine will be Sam Ficken, the place kicker. Then coming up tomorrow, Donovan Smith, the offensive tackle, Jesse James, the tight end, and then on Monday, it'll be Adrian Amos at safety. Any general thoughts on those four going in? Because we've already talked about Hull.
Yeah, I think Smith really helped himself at the Senior Bowl. He showed some nice athleticism, more quick and athletic feet and ability to mirror some edge rushers than I think he was than most thought going into it. And he was really tough in the ground game, has a little mean streak to him here and there. So I think he really helped himself in Mobile, and I think if he tests well, that could continue his rise. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up going in the second round. As far as Amos, I think he had another, you know, quality postseason. He wasn't overwhelming, but he held his own, and I think that solidified him as a potential mid-rounder.
Then there's Jesse James, the tight end, who came out early. He had 1 year of eligibility.
Yeah, that's right. James, I think, you know, he's going to need a good combine and run well and show some athleticism, but it helps him that this is a weak tight end class because there really aren't that many tight ends that are, you know, going to go high. We probably have stand a good chance of not having one at all in the first round this year, but there are definitely teams that need tight ends and want that receiving tight end. So I think that, you know, with his athletic ability, if he does well at the combine, that could really send a charge into his draft spot.
How much stock do you put in the combine?
Not a lot.
I'm glad you said that.
Last year, I did not change my rankings much at all off of the combine. You know, it didn't do much to where I'm rating players. It's just more of a confirmation in terms of where you have guys.
I think it was a great Paul Brown that said that he just wants to know what your 40-yard dash time. He said it tells you a lot.
Well, I think, you know, last year we went into the combine knowing that Clowney was a freak athletically, and then he blazed a fast 40 time, and all that did was confirm that he's a freak,
freak athletically.
You know? So it really all depends on what these guys are doing on Saturdays and, you know, the combine. I mean, how many guys have combine records for bench press or some of the fastest 40 times and they never end up having NFL careers? So, and you have Hall of Famers who didn't have good combines. So to me, it's just a way to look at these guys athletically. It's a piece of the puzzle, but it's a small piece.
Charlie, thanks so much. Always appreciate it.
Always enjoy it. Great talking to you guys.
Charlie Campbell, WalterFootball.com. We've talked about a corner, Kevin, for the Steelers.
Well, again, if I see this, it's a no-brainer. I mean, let's be frank. If I can tell they need a corner, everybody should be able to see it.
Words to live by on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The top of the hour we go. And, of course, we'll have news from CBS News. Then we'll have open lines at 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow, Tony Knott, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, will do tomorrow's show from Chicago. Looking forward to that very much.
Are you bringing your auger so you can do some ice fishing?
No, we're going to a restaurant.
You're going to ice fish at a restaurant? That's weird.
No, we're going to try eating the civilized way.
That takes all the fun out of it.
Well, that matches up with my personality on this show. I am the fun sucker.
You said it.
You used to think sports was fun. Yelling at the TV. Telling the general manager's a complete idiot.
That was just this past season.
And just out of nowhere, they come up with Dollar Dog Night, and you're back on board.